Now for our Gasserts Project Hot Seat segment. Wisconsin-based Gasserts Project is a nonprofit organization working to strengthen and grow grassroots racing.
Since 2017, the project has produced several short films and articles in addition to financially assisting racers and tracks through awards and sponsorships.
To donate or learn more, visit GasserTsProject.com. All right, everyone, it's the Gasserts Project Hot Seat segment here on the Midwest Autosports Podcast, and we're very happy to welcome into the Gasserts Project Hot Seat segment this week, president of the IRA Sprint Car Series, Steve Sinclair. How are we doing today, Steve?
Doing good, buddy. Doing good.
Awesome to hear. So, obviously, season's coming up here pretty quick, and, you know, just in about a week. What's it like planning racing before June this year?
It's coming up quicker than I want. A lot goes on all winter long, and you hope the plans you put together all come to fruition. You know, and there's always a couple hiccups in the game where you put a schedule together, or you think you have a good date, and then, you know, another sanction or something puts something, you know, on the same day, or, you know, the COVID thing is still playing a little bit of a, you know, it still affects a few things. Obviously, the Outlaws didn't go to California. You know, so they added some dates down here, and, you know, you see the All-Stars in React, and then, you know what I mean? It's just kind of a trickle-down, and we want our events to be successful, but, you know, I guess we're in better shape than we were last year at this point, so, you know, we move forward the best we can, and it's the best.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we talk about this year being a little bit easier than last year. How hard was it last season? I know you talked about it on Wing Nation one time, I think. Last year, while the pandemic was, you know, while everything was shut down, how hard was it last year, you know, promoting and trying to schedule races when you didn't even, you know, when nobody knew when we were even going to be on track?
It was extremely difficult. You know, never in my wildest dreams did I think IRA would be racing in South Dakota. Yet that's where we, you know, that's where we had to go. Yeah, you know, I that was a long way, and I knew it wasn't the best way to start because a lot of teams aren't going to make that long trip, you know, so it kind of took them out the point thing right off the get-go, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and plus for racing with the All-Stars, which makes it tough to make the show.
Right.
So that was a tough deal, you know. Racing that thing at Jackson was probably – that show in Jackson we did was probably the most talented sprint car field. That was the Knoxville Nationals set into a weekend. You know, who would have thought Donnie Schatz and these guys would be racing for $3,000 a win? You know, I mean, everybody was there. We had everybody.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it's kind of rough on our guys, you know, and our teams were put under a lot of tough situations early on, for sure. And then you know, as we moved on, you know, I know I promoted a couple races, and some tracks were very cooperative, you know, Wilmot being one, where we threw a race in there with 2 weeks' notice on a Sunday just to get a race in. You know, because we have sponsors, and, you know, we want to get some of those commitments in. You know, not one sponsor, you know, ended up asking us for any money back, but I thought it was, you know, we needed to get as close to possible as getting 25 races in. That's kind of where most of my stuff is set at contractually.
Sure.
And, you know, we fell like one short. But they were all good and understanding. I think we did a much better job than a lot of other series did. So, in our teams, you know, I mean, they, you know, it was tough on them. You know, they didn't even know they were going 2 weeks in advance in some cases. So,
yeah,
you know, car counts get affected a little bit because not everybody can, you know, we're a working man series. You know, we don't have anybody that does this for a living. Well, I guess Bill did, kind of. But other than Bill, you know, we all got jobs and just, it's tough for, even if the driver can get off, can the crew get off? There's a lot more to it than meets the eye.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you just said, there's a lot more to it than people think. And there's a lot more to it than I think, you know, and just what we see on the outside. What's one thing people don't think of when it comes to promoting and running a regional touring series like the IRA?
Well, we all have day jobs. Every one of us, you know, that's with the IRA, you know, like myself, I've got a day job. I don't think people realize that, but I do. You know, Kim Tennyson, you know, our scorer, and she does pretty much everything for us. Cody Tennyson, they've all got day jobs. Ray's got a day job. Everybody's got a day job. And it's not everybody can just get off on with the COVID thing. Last year, we ran into situations where, and we'll use Ray as an example, he wasn't allowed to go to Wisconsin for a while. If he left the state, you know, he wasn't, he would have to quarantine to come back. Well, he lives in Illinois, and we race in Wisconsin. I know we had a racer, I won't say who it was, he got himself in trouble last year early on for you know, not obeying his, you know, company's wishes. So it's in regards to travel. So it's, there's just a lot. And then even with, you know, last year trying to book shows at the last minute, you know, people forget the track has to have staff. The track needs concession workers, you know, and they always couldn't react as fast as sometimes we want them to. And, you know, we're moving into this season thinking everything's okay. But, you know, who's to say how long that's going to last? And a lot of places are still under restrictions in regards to capacity. You know, I think in most cases, you know, if we get 50%, we're okay at most places we go. You know, there's enough seats that it's realistic that we're fine.
Sure.
Illinois is yet to be seen. I guess we'll find out what happens at LaSalle next week. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I guess they're running that big Illini late mile show this weekend. So if that gets through with no issues, then I feel we're okay.
Yeah, that Farmer City 100 or yes, whatever at Farmer City. That'll be that's kind of a that's a good, I guess, sort of not benchmark. I don't know what I'm trying to say there, but a nice test run.
It is a benchmark. It is.
Yeah,
that's an annual deal, and they get big crowds, and it's a multi-day deal, and if that goes well. You know, and there's no, they don't get any hassles. Well, I guess we move forward. You know, LaSalle was supposed to have one last weekend. That just goes to show you how weird the weather is. You know, last weekend was awful.
Yeah. And now this weekend looks beautiful.
Yes. You know, and you know, they probably could have had a huge crowd and got themselves, you know, money. And we were hoping to use that race to promote our race.
Right.
And, you know, with that not happening, now it changes, you know, we have to do a little bit more on our end, and it costs money to do that, you know. And in this time of year, the weather's shaky. Nobody wants to spend a lot of money on advertising to, you know, because if it rains out or something, it's just money gone, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm in touch with Tony Izzo here about every other day. We're trying to figure out a plan and to do what we can do to get people in the seats there, you know. And, you know, LaSalle doesn't run a regular weekly schedule anymore, so it's, you know, it's hard to get the word out. You know, I'm sure we'll have plenty of cars. It's fans that pay for it that is the concern.
Right, and I feel like that's a big concern. It doesn't really matter where you're at early in the season, just because of the weather. And, you know, in April in Wisconsin, it could say that it's going to be sunny and 67 and end up being, you know, pouring down rain in 45. But I feel like the risk versus reward for going to these races is, I mean, the reward is a lot better because the racing, I feel like, in, or especially early in the season, you kind of get to see where the pecking order is in the series, especially this year with it being really wide open in the IRA. If you had to give one reason why somebody should go to the races this weekend in Iowa and Illinois, 34 Raceway in LaSalle, what's the reason that you would tell somebody?
Winter waiting to do something.
But
there's going to be I think there's a lot of teams that are just wanting to race. So in addition to, you know, the whole point thing, you know, you're going to have people show up maybe you didn't expect to show up.
Oh, yeah.
At least that's what I'm thinking. I don't know that for sure. You know, I mean, obviously this weekend is our opener, and 34 is traditionally this day because Knoxville's not open yet. So there could be, you know, a couple Knoxville guys show up here. But I don't know. They haven't contacted me. But typically, you know, you get a couple. Mm-hmm. You know, with the whole outlaw thing going to Kokomo and Hubstadt, that kind of changes things, you know. So there's going to be – Hubstadt's a little bit of a ways away from LaSalle, but you never know. You know, again, going back to that whole Hubstadt-Kokomo thing, the All-Stars actually got off that weekend and moved up to this weekend.
Yeah.
To avoid conflict, you know, and a couple All-Star guys have indicated if they get, you know, if this weekend gets in with them and they're open next week, we might see a couple of them. You know, and typically for us, if we bring anywhere from 12 to 15 all the way down to Burlington. That's good for us, mm-hmm. you know, because not our teams have two different goals. There are some that are running for the championship, and then there are others that their goal is to get 80% and just be, you know, eligible for the point fund and tow money and banquet goodies and all that kind of stuff. You know, so there's two different groups of teams per se. And then you always have that there's actually a third group that just, you know, races when they can and they're just content with doing that. And, you know, the rest of the stuff doesn't mean that much to them or for whatever reason they can't pursue it. So it's a whole mix of things. And, you know, it's probably maybe not necessarily best to open up on the road, but, you know, it's Burlington from my house. And I live just south of Wilmont. It's 4.5 hours south. Mm-hmm. The weather difference is huge.
Huge.
You know, I mean, they had the track worked on weeks ago. So I'm, you know, man, they should be in good shape. I think there's cars on the track this weekend down there.
Yeah, there is.
Practice or something. There's supposed to be a race.
Right.
A modified race, but they were concerned. And it's no different than Beaver Dam. If anybody looks at Beaver Dam Raceway, the way it sits and the way the sun never hits the top of turns 1 and 2 at Beaver Dam. And at Burlington, Iowa, the sun never hits turns 3 and 4. Number one, they got a big VIP suite that wraps around it.
Right.
And it just shades it. And there's a big wall in that corner. So, you know, 1 and 2 isn't a problem, but 3 and 4 is a little iffy. So they were concerned having a multi-day modified race with skinny tires and all that could be a disaster for them. So they actually chose to not run the modified race in hopes to give us the best track they could give us next week.
Yeah, I'm absolutely stoked to get down to 34. I've never been to either of these tracks, and I think it's, you know, 34 has been on my bucket list for a while. We always kind of drove past LaSalle going down to Fairbury the past couple of years and just never been able to stop, but I'm really excited. So this year with the IRA, I mean, obviously with no Baylog in the series, and not that it was always necessarily cut and dry whenever he was in the series, but with him gone, it really blows this title fight completely wide open. And I don't know if, you know, I'm sure you pay attention to that a little bit, but, you know, you obviously have other concerns. But what is it like coming into this year? And there's a lot of people saying that we could be entering a quote-unquote golden age of the IRA here coming up in the next few years with, you know, guys like Scotty Thiel, Jake Blackhurst. Even Jordan Goldsberry looks like he's going to run a full-time schedule this year. Obviously, two-time champion Scotty Neitzel and a bunch of other guys that have been in the series for a while and have been building speed every year. What is it like coming into a season where there's legitimately close to 10 cars that could win on any given night?
Well, I think that's, you know, Bill was just an unbelievable job. And, you know, the pressure that must have been on him to win every week is beyond, it's, I think people don't realize the pressure that was on him to win. People expecting him to. Mm-hmm. Or to see how long it would take him, you know, wherever he was starting, how long it would take him to get to the front. You know, now, you know, and not that Bill couldn't have been beaten, but it just, he proved that he was the man, and it, with 127 future wins, which is more than double than anybody else in our history, you know, he deserved that. But, yeah, it's wide open now for sure. I think you're going to see some guys that, you know, get their first feature wins with us, you know, that maybe ran second or third to Bill in the past. Well, now he's not here, so that's, you know, it's a potential win. Mm-hmm. You know, but budgets and early season good luck and, you know, crew availability and everything else is going to determine, you know, if the guy can really run the full deal to win the championship, you know, and then, but there's a bunch of guys, you know, I look for, you know, you mentioned a bunch, and, you know, whether Jordan can do the whole thing or not, you know, they run a landscape business, and
right.
It's weather, you know, the weather depends, and there may be weekends he wants to come that can't. Plus, people have to realize he lives in Springfield, Illinois.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, for him to go up to Cedar Lake for a one-day show on iffy weather, potentially, it's a big cost to drive, you know, 10 hours to a rainout, in his case. So,
right.
You know, it's, who knows, but, you know, I think, you know, you mentioned a bunch, but I certainly wouldn't put a victory away from, you know, Scotty Beardsley, Jeremy Schultz is a former champ,
mm-hmm.
you know, Mike Ranke, I'm not sure. I don't think they're doing the whole thing. I think that's an 80% team, but certainly they can find their way to victory lane. They were on the podium at the end last year a bunch. I look for good things coming out of Sean Rahal. I look to see him on the podium. You know, Russ Borman, this is the year I think he wins his first feature, without a doubt, and maybe more than one. Danny Schlaefer, he's at 360, you know, he's won everything he can win in the 360s, and he's a gasser. It looks to me like they, you know, last year they didn't know they were going to run 410s full-time, and this year I think that's the plan, and they're gearing for it, and I think they're going to be well-prepared, and from what I see, they got all new equipment. You mentioned Jake, that's a you know, he's a past champ as well. And you can take a Todd King, who doesn't race a lot, but he's capable of winning some races. Again, not sure how much he's going to race. I'm thinking that's an 80% guy.
Right.
Dave Utek. Dave Utek's been on a podium a few times. I think the last 2 years had been his two best. But that's a family deal. You know, pretty much comes out of his pocket. And, you know, there's a guy that can probably, you know, on a good year, maybe have a top 5 points finish. But, you know, if they have a blown engine or hurt a car early in the season, that's going to, you know, that changes their whole plan.
They had a wicked wreck last season, too, that set them back, I know, a bunch, too.
Yep. You know, Scotty Thiel, you mentioned that, you know, I obviously people probably put him and Jake as the two favorites, you know, with, you know, with Scotty Neitzel and Schultz and, you know, a few others right behind Borland and stuff right behind, but you know, Scotty's going to be tough, but you know, he's got a commitment right away too. He's got sponsors that want him to go to Bristol. So, he's betting against the weather, and who knows? I mean, the weather could be bad here or there. And people got to do what they got to do, and you know, if we get our show in, he's got some ground to make up. Not that he can't, but it's going to be tough because there's so many guys that are equal. You know, we keep going. You know, I think Wayne Majeski can maybe win his first one.
Yeah, he's come close a few times.
You know, Blake Mimi's, you know, if he ran the whole thing, Blake would be there. But I think that's, again, I think that's maybe an 80% team. You know, because they got number one with a, that's a different deal. Blake and his dad lives to the south, you know, kind of by LaSalle.
Right.
And the car's based up at Wilmot. And getting everybody together to do some of these things is I think difficult. As a matter of fact, I think, you know, those guys live right by, or Blake lives right by LaSalle, and I don't think LaSalle's on their schedule at the rate.
Yeah, because of the team, being up north.
But you know, it's going to be an interesting deal for sure. You know, and you know, it all depends off some guys start. I think if some guys start strong, they go for the whole thing. If some of them struggle, you may see them miss a race or two. You know, it's just. You know, and from a car count perspective, I think there's going to be nights we're really solid, and there's going to be nights, you know, us, like Knoxville and a few others, you know, we're going to dip down to 20. You know, it can happen. You know, several years ago when life was great, you know, we added, you know, bumped it up to 24 cars to start the feature. And, you know, I think that's probably good because pretty much everybody that comes has a great chance of making it nowadays. You know, for most shows.
Right.
But, you know, there may be a few nights we dip, and I have communications with, you know, Knoxville and several other tracks, and it's a concern right now. You know, I mean, they don't know what they're going to have on a weekly basis anymore either, despite the fact that they pay so well and they got a great point fund, as we do too, in my opinion, for what we are.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not everything. And sometimes I don't think, you know, some local 360 teams realize all that we have to offer. You know, and it doesn't take as much to step up as they think. You know, and sometimes I think the purse and the other perks sometimes can make up that engine cost difference. Because the rest of the car is the same. The car doesn't know what, you know, a front end's a front end. It doesn't know if it's in a 360, a wingless car of, you know, one of ours. It doesn't know. All the other costs are the same. You know, the engine is about the only difference. And I think, you know, they... Yeah, I think the perception sometimes that we have guys out there with, you know, $70,000 engines, that's not necessarily a reality. You know, I think there's a lot more, you know, $20,000 to $30,000 engines in our group than there are these other high dollar ones. And there's probably a lot under 20, to be honest with you, that run top 10. So, I don't think the jump is as big as people think. But we all get along good. You know, the 360 thing's a good, solid thing in this area. And the wingless thing is taking off. So, you know, if you added up all the sprint cars in Wisconsin, I would say that we are probably, you know, maybe third in the whole country, but people, I don't know, I just don't think people realize it.
There was a stat that got put out last year, and Wisconsin, I think, was third or fourth in the nation in sprint in 410 sprint car races since I think it was 2015, and that's a huge accomplishment. I think they were only behind, I think it was Pennsylvania and Ohio, were the two ones that were ahead of Wisconsin, which is, that's an incredible feat, and hats off to, you know, you and the entire IRA for making that happen. Speaking of, you know, a lot of events, the IRA's got a full schedule this year. Some really marquee events. Obviously, there's the $5,000 to win NASCAR kickoff, which I think is going to be a really cool Thursday night show at Plymouth to kick off the NASCAR weekend up at Road America. The one that I've had circled since the All-Stars schedule came out, was this four-race swing with the All-Stars, starting at Fairbury, then going to Wilmot, Plymouth, and then finishing out at Angel Park. Kind of go through the process of, you know, how does a deal like that get put together? And how much are you looking forward to having a big four-race swing like that up here in the Upper Midwest?
A lot of things come together kind of, well, so my day job is I work for K&K Insurance. I'm the insurance guy for a lot of the tracks. You know, Knoxville's an account of mine. The All-Stars are one of my accounts. So I'm in contact with these guys all the time. Fairbury's an account, you know, so, and all the Wisconsin tracks are my account. So, you know, we're talking all the time, and, you know, we're trying to put an IRA race together at Fairbury, and they've got such a successful weekly show. You know, it's pretty tough to, you know, have them sit down their weekly stuff so we can come in on a Saturday night. You know, it's just, financially, it almost doesn't make sense for them to do that. Right. So, you know, and I don't really have enough pull to get all our guys to come down there on a weeknight, you know. So, but I do know that we have enough guys that would probably do a Thursday, but I don't have enough to do the whole field, you know. So, you know, the All-Stars were looking, they're always looking for to make it, you don't think of us as being a road trip for them, but it is. We're, you know, we're, most of their cars are based. Right. So when they come out this way, they want to do 3 or 4 days. And, so, you know, I own 3 Wisconsin dates that I can take anywhere I want. They're, you know, they're just because, I guess I own them because they're just a relationship, you know. So when the All-Stars want to come to Wisconsin, they look to me to find them places to go. Right. And, you know, so you try to pick places that you know, can draw crowds and, you know, that somewhat can race on a normal race night and fits the flow of the schedule. So if we're coming out of Fairbury and we're going north, Wilmot's the closest.
Right.
You know, and I go to Wilmot, then, you know, Wilmot would prefer a Saturday, believe me, and I hear it from the fair board all the time is, why don't we get to Friday? I guess somebody has to, and, it, you know, again, it's traffic flow. So
right, it makes sense.
You know, then I go to Plymouth, and then Angel Park is Sunday night, so that makes sense too, you know. So that's kind of how that works, but we got a great relationship, you know, with the All-Stars, and they've, you know, when Tony first bought it, I don't even know if people, how many people even know this, but when they first bought it, it came together like right at the end of January, and Florida was right away, and they didn't have a competition director or anybody lined up, so they hired me to do the very first few races, which was kind of cool.
Wow.
And so I did their Florida stuff, and then I just got a great relationship with Tony's management team, and it just, you know, it's been great since. You know, we just got a great working relationship, and I don't think there's any other sanctioning body they work with as closely as they do us. No. You know, in regards to how we do things, everybody gets along. As a matter of fact, this is kind of wacky, but so this coming weekend, you know, with Burlington and LaSalle, with the All-Stars moving their schedule, my father-in-law is in extremely poor health, and, you know, I'm hoping that things all work out in the timing of things, but they may not this weekend, and I've actually got Eric Walls, the competition director of the All-Stars, ready to take my spot if I can't go.
Wow.
And he's worked with all our staff before, everybody knows each other, so that would be, you know, we can I haven't missed a race since 1996, but it's possible, you know, because every day here is getting closer and closer, and it is what it is. But it's just, you know, it's nice that you can, you know, make some few phone calls and get some quality people to help each other out. Just, it's kind of weird too, you know. Terry McCarroll always hires me to do his Oskaloosa stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing it, heck, probably 15, 18 years now. And to have, like, you know, Eric from the All-Stars and Mike Hess from the Outlaws call to be a part of that, you know, so those guys are they're working for me on that night, per se. You know, I'm not, yeah. I'm up in the tower and Eric's down in turn four doing the chalk line, and, you know, Mike's in two and three because we can't, the sight lines at Oskaloosa are awful for a guy to, you know, watch everything. So it's just cool. We all get together well. We do the Knoxville Nationals together. You know, it's John McCoy from Knoxville, Mike Hess, myself, and Eric in the tower at the Knoxville Nationals. So that's pretty cool. They have these relationships, and we can help each other out. It's all good.
Yeah, I think the relationships like that, like you said, they really set yourself up for success in the future too. Obviously, with, I think that relationship with you and Tony, I think, helps when he, you know, comes up here. And, you know, it was a few years where he just ran he ran just regular IRA races at Plymouth, you know, with Bill and stuff, and had a lot of fun there. And, you know, he keeps coming back, which is, you know, I think that's a big testament to, you know, your relationship with that series and everybody involved. Speaking of relationships, Angel Park was a big question mark after last season. Obviously, they didn't get any racing in last year due to restrictions in place down there. But how happy are you that Angel Park seems to be back in stable hands with the McCarns family, which is awesome, and is back on the IRA schedule a bunch of times this year?
Oh, it's great. I think Greg McCarns will do a great job. You know, he's second generation. You know, his dad was like a legend in this area, promoting, more so known for the Artco Stock Car Series back in the, you know, 70s, 80s, mm-hmm. 90s. You know, it's probably what he's the most known for. But he's got a heck of a background, Greg does, for a young guy. Dirt's going to be a little bit new. You know, I'm sure he's got a lot of people in his ear telling him what he needs to do for track prep, you know. And I think we'll get that figured out. You know, we're going to, I know he's close friends with the gentleman that used to own Farley Speedway in Iowa, so I think he'll get advice from him.
Mm-hmm.
I know that myself and Nick Simons from Wilmot, we're going to drive up there one day, and Nick's going to give him his take on some things. And I think Greg will get it, you know, and he's a hardworking guy, but we'll get the surface figured out. And, you know, there's no doubt I think that was the right choice probably. I mean, after the, you know, the SLS thing kind of fell apart, I think Greg was probably the right choice. He operates the Madison track, Madison International, so having two tracks in the same market, I think, is, you know, for him to advertise,
yeah,
you know, doesn't get any better. And he's got a Friday track and a Sunday track. He's got a day off in between. And the family's all in. His wife, his kids, they're all in. And I think it'll be a good deal. And, you know, it's good for open wheel racing. It's an open wheel racing track, you know, and I think it's great for Badger. It's good for my wingless group. MSA is there. IRA is there. So we all play a big role. And it's good we all work together.
Yeah, that Angel Park schedule is just about as diverse as it could possibly be. I think they have the Dirt Kings late models down there at one point, too. And that was the interesting thing that I saw in all those press releases, was that it said the McCarns family, which is really, really cool. It didn't say, you know, Greg McCarns, you know, takes over Angel Park or whatever. It was the McCarns family, which I think says a lot about, you know, how he runs his businesses and how he goes about running tracks, which is awesome.
His wife Ann, she's hands on. I mean, she's a big part of the deal. You know, and it takes a lot. People forget, you know, you got the concession stand, there's so many things to operate. And I think what may make things a little easier for Greg the first year is everybody coming in there is a sanctioning body.
Right.
He does not have to worry about running the race. You know, maybe from a time perspective he does, yes. But, you know, he doesn't have to officiate anything. He can focus on tickets, he can focus on concessions.
Mm-hmm.
Or I should say they can focus.
Right. Again. Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's all good.
So, you know, season coming up, 1 week. what's the event? I don't know. I don't even know if you can answer this, but what's the event that you're most looking forward to in 2021? I don't know if you can really have a bias towards one singular event. But is there anything that you kind of have circled like this is going to be a really, really cool date? Obviously mine's always the end of the year. I love the Sprint Car Championships at Plymouth. I think that's a really, really unique event. I don't think any other state in the nation has an event like that where they have four sprint car series all crowning a champion on the same night. Is there anything on the schedule that you have circled that's like, this is going to be, if you go to one race this year, this would be the one to go to?
Well, I like that one as well. And I think it is unique. I think you hit it. I don't think it gets quite the attention it deserves, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So that whole weekend, I mean, that event for one, plus it's the last one. I'm always glad when it's over. so there's reasons for that. And then, you know, we're doing a night before at Dodge where we're mm-hmm. doing, you know, the three bigger classes, you know. And the wingless guys have come a long way, too, now. So last year was a little bit of a test for those guys on a big track. And they, you know, the ones that showed up, I thought, did a great job. We didn't have a yellow all night. So now it's a point race for those guys, and it'll be a big challenge. And then we go to Plymouth the next night. So that's a great weekend. I mean, there's just so many, you know. I mean, the races at 141 are always so intense, you know. I mean, I guess the better races are the ones I'm most nervous at, and I'm shaking like a leaf at all those because, you know, things can happen there in a hurry. You know, the Hall Farms showdown deals are all kind of good. I mean, my God, there's so many, you know. The sleeper in the bunch, if I was a fan, I want to watch a race. The All-Star race at Fairbury could be the sleeper of the whole bunch.
Yeah.
Because that place is just, it's elbows up. I mean, it's wild. You know, the Jerry Richard race at Cedar Lake is always, I think, a great event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, anytime we're teamed up with a good support class, you know, if we're teamed up with MSA,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, or the wingless guys, you know, I get some the midgets, you know, sometimes what you're teamed up with creates a good event, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, the Fairbury race, I'm really looking forward to. Sean and I were talking about it the other day, and he said, you know, for the one hot lap that he got in last year, he said it was awesome. So
it's not for the timid.
No.
You know, for a quarter mile track, and they do a wonderful job promoting, they just treat you well down there, and it's a unique deal. It's right in town, so it's similar to a Plymouth, I guess, in regards to that feel. But when you pull into town and it says, "Welcome to Fairbury," there's a picture of a race car.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's how many towns embrace the racing like they do? No mufflers, no curfew, right in the middle of town.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
It's, you know, it's really cool.
and they're not, it's not known as a open wheel track. So, I mean, they're still trying to grow that, you know, but their late mile stuff is, you know, as good as any place in the nation, you know.
It's spectacular. I was never really a late model guy until I went down there. They had that One for the Road show last year, and it was absolutely unbelievable. But really looking forward to seeing open wheel cars down there. And we talk about the IRA a lot, obviously, because that's the premier class up here in Wisconsin. But your Wisconsin wingless deal has grown almost unbelievably over the past 3 or 4 years. From I remember, you know, showing up to an IRA show and there's maybe 15, 20 wingless cars there, which isn't bad. I mean, considering there's a lot of series around the country, even, you know, up north in Minnesota and stuff like that with UMSS, that's their average car count, and that's totally fine. But now with the Wisconsin Wingless Series, you're averaging almost 30 cars a night, which is unbelievable. That's unbelievable. And it's obviously, you know, along with the MSA, it's become a really good feeder to the IRA. And, you know, we're seeing guys, Zach Hansen just announced he's running some IRA races. Some guys from the MSA, I know Jack Vanderboom's going to run a little bit of 410 stuff. You know, between those two series, you've got a really good feeder system almost to the 410s. And with those two series, I think it sets up the IRA for success in the future.
Oh, I hope so. You know, I think a lot of these guys sometimes look at it. I think they need to make the jump. I think some of these guys are doing a partial deal. Just do it. you're going to get better. I mean, we'll take Brandon McMullen, for example. Yeah. That 1 year he ran with us, I mean, he came back to MSA, you know, and he's dominant.
Yeah.
Well, I should, you know, I don't mean to say dominant. There's plenty of guys that can run with him, but he is that much better than he was, you know, before he left. Mm-hmm. You know, I think same thing with Kurt Davis. You know, Kurt Davis ran a few years. He came back. It made him a better racer. Going to different tracks, getting used to the horsepower. I think that's, you know, a big deal. You know, and so the ones that are going to do it, I wish they would just do it. yep. And focus, well, because it costs money, and focus all their deals in the same hat, and I think they would get better faster. I think too many are worried about, you know, racing for rookie of the year, you know, and we have a great program.
Yeah.
And I, you know, thanks to Sage Fruit and Hefner Racing Products, we've made a great deal out of that. And, and then Sean Rahal added his, driving suit, supplier to the mix now too. It's an unbelievable, I'd say the best rookie of the year deal other than a World Outlaws out there.
Oh yeah. It's, absolutely.
It's big. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it gives more than most championships give, you know. Yeah. And but I think everybody is. And that's why we have a second place for that now too. If you're gonna do it, just do it. You know, I think you need to focus on it. And I'd like to see a few more come up every year because mm-hmm. there are, you know, the MSA car counts and the Wingless car counts this year are going to be through the roof.
Yep.
And you know, we need a few guys to come up because you know we're going to have a few nights. Where I am concerned, you know, we're only going to have, you know, I mean, there's enough cars in the 410 pot, but you never know. You know, there's so many of them that are doing hit and miss. You just don't know, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think financially, you know, if you're going to do it, do it. You know, the money's there. I think to offset the difference, if you can, you know, you get yourself a reliable engine that's going to go. You know, don't, you know, do your homework, get one that's going to live. And I think financially, you come out ahead of the deal. You know.
Yeah, especially up here in Wisconsin where there's, you know, there's really only two tracks, I think, where a really big engine makes a difference. Obviously, you know, Antigo and then Dodge County. You know, most of the tracks that the IRA runs on are, you know, short enough where, you know, there's even guys that run a 360 and run top 15, close to top 10 with the IRA, even at a place like Wilmot where, you know, people look at the straightaways and they think, oh, we're going to get slapped. But I think you're right. I think there's a lot of people in the MSA and the wingless stuff that, you know, could, especially talent wise, there's definitely a lot of people in those series that could make the jump and do really well.
And we may see more people do that. You know, Bill was just so dominant. I think they looked at him and they just thought, oh my God, I can't compete with that, you know? you know, I think with this thing being more wide open, you know, maybe that will, but you know, there's more, you know, back when I started, you know, there was just 410s. There wasn't, you know, I was around before the 360s, you know, even on a national level, I was around, you know, before we had crates and all this other stuff, there was just 410s, mm-hmm. you know, so there's more sprint cars than ever. We're just so segmented now, you know, and guys are going to race where they feel comfortable, you know, and that's going back to my Bill point, you know, some guys aren't going to move up if they figure, you know, okay, you got Bill, and you got Scotty, Jake, blah, blah, blah. The other Scotty's Jeremy, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that I'm running for, you know, they want to come into the thing and run up front right away. You know, right. They may be at their current series. And that might not happen right away. You know, they might have to pay their dues, and rightfully so. You know, I mean, these guys are strapping in one of these 410s, I mean, some of these big joints, it's not for everybody. You know, yeah. But, you know, guys are going to race where they're comfortable and what they're also what they can afford. You know, it's, that's the other thing too. You got an MSA engine. You're limited as to where you can sell it to, because that's a great rule package for what they have, but there's not too many other groups in the country running it. So you can only sell your engine to the guys running that series primarily. So you have to sell that before you can buy a 410 in many cases. Cause not everybody just has 20 grand. They can just, you know, buy a 410 with, use 410 and keep their other stuff, you know? So it's kind of same thing with the crate, you know, they got to find a market to sell at, but that's probably a little bit easier. You know, there's a lot more places running a 604 crate than there are the MSA engine.
Yeah, but, that's very true.
But we got a great relationship with, you know, I got a great relationship with the MSC guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously the Wingless thing is, you know, was partly my idea. So I like to think I have a good relationship, but, you know, they all want more too, you know, and, you know, they deserve more, but they also got to realize that where they fit in the totem pole of things. And, you know, it peaks. There's going to be some nights where they get more money. It's a special, but this is where it fits. And, you know, so they got to determine too, what, you know, what they're comfortable and what their budgets. And that's pretty much what it comes down to. You know, some guys don't want to race mid pack and back. They want to have the chance to win, and they're going to go race the series they feel they have a chance to do that at. But, you know, I think everybody's stepping up two spots with us right now, with Bill being gone in a 73, only having one team. Everybody's, you know, and merging with Scotty Thiel. So everybody just moved up two spots right now, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
So there's, you know, you take Bill's earnings, you know, I think they were, you know, whatever, 67 grand last year. And you take, you know, the Joey Mohan earnings or Scotty Thiel earnings and change those around a little bit. And there's, you know, there's 100 grand up for grabs right now that wasn't on the table last year.
Wow. Yeah, that's a really good way to put that.
Something so maybe even people if you don't divide think that about. Up, even if you divide that up by 10 guys, each one just made 10,000 more.
Yeah, that's very a big true. Deal. Well, and that's the thing. I think if you can run top 10, you know, even top 15, really, especially with this field that's coming into the IRA this year where there are 10, 12 guys that could win on any given night.
And there are 10 or 12.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of names we haven't even talked about tonight. You know?
Right, right.
Cribno and Josh Walter, if he hits it right.
Yep.
And Kyle Schuett's capable. You know, I mean, there's a bunch of guys that can win races. You know, even on the right, say you put Chris Spitz on a pole at Wilmot on the right day, and he could pull one off.
Yeah,
so there's a ton of guys that can win, and it's going to be interesting. I just, you know, it might be too interesting.
Could have a different winner every night, which would be really, really cool. But, it's. I think it's the most wide open the series has been in, obviously, you know, 15, 20 years.
Yes.
You know, and yes. One thing that I didn't touch on earlier when we were talking about, you know, your relationship with the All-Stars and the World of Outlaws and what all you do for those series. When you see a big series like that come in to Wisconsin and then your boys, the IRA guys, go out there and put on a really good show and a good fight to those top guys. I know, obviously, Bill's been doing well with that for a while. But then you see guys like Blake Neamy go out last year and almost, I mean, he dominated the All-Star feature at Wilmot before there were a few yellows. And, you know, he obviously got caught in some bad lap traffic and stuff like that. But he dominated that race. And then you see Jake Blackhurst and I think Jeremy Schultz, was it, go out and win heat races at the Race Rudine Foundation race, which was one of the toughest fields in Wisconsin sprint car history, I would say. And, you know, to see your guys go out there and do really well against, you know, some of the best competition that's ever come to Wisconsin, that's got to feel pretty good.
Well, it says a lot for our guys, for sure, because it's not a level playing field. Those guys are pros. They mm-hmm. They do it for a living. They have full-time crews. Or most of them do, you know, and it's tough to even be on the same playing field. So anybody that can run, even make the feature, if you can make the feature in any of those things, it's an accomplishment. Mm-hmm. And certainly to run, you know, if you can run in the top 10, that's a win. But I'm going to make another point that I don't think a lot of people realize when it comes to money. So yeah, they got the, you know, it's $10,000, you know, an Outlaw show. It's, you know, six was not an Outlaw show, but as the purse goes down, even with the World of Outlaws, you have to run the top three to make more than $3,000, which is what our minimum A main win is for IRA. Mm-hmm. The top three. So you tell me what's easier to do.
Yeah.
Run top three with the Outlaws or pick off a show with us, you know, and Bill mm-hmm. took a lot of criticism. Well, I knew he'd much rather be on the road doing the other stuff, you know. But from a financial position, it was senseless for him to go race anywhere else.
Right.
Even though he wanted to, I mean, financially, $3,000's a lot of money. Like I said, you got to run, and to make that same amount with those guys, you're putting on more tires. You know, you can get away with running a used tire with us, you know, at certain points, you know, certainly right. Heat race or whatever. But with those guys, you've got to be bolting a new one on. You know, so you're putting two right rears on a night when you run an outlaw show. Mm-hmm. You know, at least one new left rear. It adds up. So your expenses are higher. We're getting off the track a little bit, but I just wanted to point that out. That you know, our top three positions, 3,000 to win, 2,000 for second, 15 for third, that's a big deal.
That is a
huge
deal.
And to try and make that same amount with those guys, even though their purse is higher, that there's more talent, there's more full-time teams that do this for a living, it's tough to compete with. So, you know, I think guys are financially better off actually running with us, to be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to see them go. I mean, when I was younger, I used to think those Beer Town showdowns at Hales Corners were, you know, they would be on Wednesday night and there'd be 70 cars in the pits and all our guys were there and all them guys were there. And any guy that of ours that made the feature, that was a huge deal. Huge deal. And, you know, we've had some guys over the years make some pretty strong runs at some of these things. You, like you said, Blake Amy, that was outstanding. Bill won that outlaw show a few years back. You know, I've seen Scotty Knoxall have some strong runs over the years and several others. You know, Scotty Field was quick time at Jackson last year.
Yeah.
I mean, so it can be done. But to do it on the budgets we have compared to what they have is unbelievable to me. So, you know, there's a lot of good, you know, local racers in the country that don't have the opportunity to travel full time. But I like to think when they come here, they know they've got some competition. You know, it's not just a cakewalk. You know, mm-hmm. And I think our guys do a good job considering.
Well, we saw Scotty Thiel and Sean Rahal go down to, you know, Florida to start the year. And, well, on the first night after that, Sean had a bunch of bad luck and, you know, issues with the car. But in that first night down at Screven with the All-Stars, I mean, they put in a heck of a showing down there at a track they've never been to. You know, Sean in new equipment that he really had never even driven on a track. And Scotty Thiel, too, going to a brand new team. Obviously, he's ran a couple of races for Ozzy in the past, but, you know, with limited success. I think he would have got the win at Anago last year without, you know, a left rear falling off the car. But
there's no doubt.
So to see those guys go down there and just out of nowhere almost, you know, Sean, both of them put it almost top 10 in qualifying. And I think both of them ran third in their heat races before, you know, both of them had some little bit of bad luck in the feature. But that had to be pretty cool as well.
Sean beat Tony Stewart in his heat, didn't he? I think Sean beat Tony Stewart.
Sean beat Tony Stewart, and he was running down Ian Madsen for second by the end of the
heat. Yeah, that was probably Sean's best 10 laps ever, probably.
Yeah. I don't think you want to tell him that, but yeah, I would agree.
No, it looked good. I was watching it.
Yeah.
I was watching it on flow.
His qualifying that night was one of, you know, he obviously has two quick times with the IRA, but that was, I think that was his best one lap run I've ever seen him do. And I think, you know, that sets up Sean and Scotty, you know, really good for the year. And especially Scotty, I mean, he's running a lot of outlaw stuff, getting a lot of seat time before the season starts. I think that sets him up really well. And that just kind of goes to that point where, you know, when you see those guys do really well at outside shows, it feels good. Because, you know, I don't know if you feel like, you know, you're like a tiny little part in that, which I think is pretty cool.
No, I always pay attention to when our guys go elsewhere and see how they fare and want them to do well. And, you know, Scotty's. I believe he's put on the A main every time he's traveled this year, which is your goal. You can't afford to go on these long road trips and not make the show. You got to make the show. And, you know, I'm pretty sure he's made them all. And he's had a couple great heat runs. He did the smart thing last week at Lake of the Ozarks. The track was as rough as I hear. No sense beating the hell out of your equipment when it pays pretty much the same from 15th on back, so you might as well pull it in at that point. I would do that anywhere, probably, you know, unless you're chasing points. I think that's probably the right move. And, you know, as long as they're racing within their budget, because, again, going back to my point, you know, I mean, he's getting great experience. He's getting his, you know, a lot of, you know, good positive publicity. But from a financial side, you know, it's you're going a long way and spending a lot of money for what 15th pays, per se, right, in the big scheme of things. But there's, without a doubt, moving into this season, with the seat time he's got, wow. You know, and then getting the Bristol invitation, that's a huge deal.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I can't fault anybody for wanting to do that. So, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, we talked. I've talked with Scotty. I've talked with Ozzy. And I get it, you know. I get it. Everybody's got to do what they got to do. And it's an opportunity that may not come again. You know, I'm not. I just hope it's a nice, safe weekend down there. And you know, we move on after that.
Hey, absolutely. Well, I'm not going to hold you any longer, Steve. This was an awesome conversation. Thank you so much for your time. If there's anybody that you need to thank before we call it quits here, this is your time to do so.
That could go on for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people. You know, every track that brings us in, every team that races with us, my whole staff, you know, without the Tennyson family and Kevin Spies in particular, you know, this thing doesn't happen. I mean, they do above and beyond. For me, you know, our sponsors that have been loyal. I'm not a guy that, you know, I don't have the time anymore to you know, beat on a bunch of doors, but the ones we have, I think they believe we do a good job for them. They've stuck with us over the years. You know, Bumper to Bumper has been with us now. This is my 28th year, and I think this will be like the 23rd, 24th year with Bumper to Bumper.
Wow.
You know,
that's insane.
Yeah. Pretty incredible. When you add up what they've given us over the years, it'll stun you.
That has to be the longest running. I don't know if they've always been a title sponsor, but that has to be one of the longest running series and sponsor partnerships in the country.
Yes. I mean, that Bumper to Bumper is pretty loyal. So that same group that gives us our money, also sponsors what used to be the Auto Value Super Sprints. Well, I guess it still is, and I think they've added the Bumper to Bumper name in there because Bumper to Bumper owns Auto Value.
Okay.
So it's actually the same people that write the check to them that write the check to us. So they probably actually had it longer than I have, but wow. we've run a lot more races, you know, per year than they do.
Sure.
So we're proud of that. Certainly Osborne & Son Trucking, TW Metals, Cummins Onan, Sage Fruit, which is a great deal because I made that relationship last year, and I'm really proud of that one.
Yeah, Sage is awesome. They partner with us here on our show too, and they've been amazing since the get go.
Yep. Carriage Auto Body, you know, on and on and on. There's just a big loyal bunch there that have you know, I'm not overly formal. There's not a bunch of fancy contracts that go out. It's pretty much an email, you know, saying, you know, I hope you can do this again, and we appreciate what you do. And and they're with us. And same thing with the contingencies, the ones that help us out at the banquet every year. You know, it's not a lot of begging. You know, I mean, I probably, you know, without a PRI show, I lost a little bit of that momentum, you know, this year. But, you know, a lot of it's just relationships. You know, people find out if you're a trustworthy person or you got a decent series with decent guys that you know, support their product, that they put something out. You know, that goes a long way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Wisconsin fans are blessed. All of that. The sprint car racing in Wisconsin at all levels is unsurpassed, in my opinion. You know, we are good. And, in regards to what we're doing, you know, these guys are all working guys. You know, in all, you know, from the 410s down to the Lightning Sprints, everybody's, you know, and they come out and I think they do a spectacular job with, you know, the budgets they have. And I'm pretty proud of it. And I hope people realize that Wisconsin is higher up on that map than a lot of them might want to think. But we are.
Yeah, I absolutely think so. And I think this is going to be a big year. For Wisconsin in general. Last year was too, with the spotlight that was on here for a while, you know, we were one of the only places that had racing with some fans in attendance. But I think this year is going to be just as big. Thank you for your time, Steve. And I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. And we'll see you next week down at 34 and then LaSalle.
Thank you. Appreciate it.